Thank you. Let's just marry Rav Shlita. Well, doctors and medicine always occupy a favourite and happy place amongst the Jewish population. It's the traditional story of the woman shouting out in the theatre, "Is there a doctor in the house?" And it's not to cure anyone, it's to meet her daughter. Well, then there's the fellow who tries to save money because he knows that the specialist will charge $200 for a first consultation and only $100 for a second consultation. So he walks in and he says, "Hello, doctor, here I am again." So the doctor says, "Well, after the treatment, just take the same as before." Today is not going to be a debate about the virtues of alternative medicines, which has in fact occupied the news a bit lately. I'm not going to be standing in the role of Prince Charles to say why you should go for alternative medicine, although I'm a believer in a lot of the alternative remedies which you find nowadays. The fact is that people have been leaning much more towards alternative remedies such as homeopathy, acupuncture, reflexology and so on, because they're not keen on taking conventional drugs which might have side effects, and they've been going to naturopaths and so on. So there are one or two interesting shilohs I've come across in that line. For example, what if a naturopath says that there is a danger to life, should Shabbos be broken on the basis of his advice? Or what if a medical doctor says there is no danger to life, and a naturopath says there is a danger to life? Do you discard with the view of the medical doctor, and do you listen to the naturopath? That is a practical question which has come up, which I found in a Sefer Shabbos Shabboson, who says you do listen to the naturopath. You do listen to him, provided that he is licensed in what he is doing. He is a registered person in what he's doing. That it is a discipline of its own. There are doctors who will say, "We rubbish these people and they don't know what they're talking about," and they'll say there is nothing scientific to justify what they're saying. I know people who are perfectly confident they'll say that homeopathy has helped them. But whatever it is, we're not here to debate the virtues of each method. It's simply that in halacha, if a naturopath who is licensed what he's doing says that there is a danger to life, then we listen to him and we follow his advice. There's another interesting shaila, and that is this. With medical preparations, where you have a course of treatment, normally for something which is a minor ailment, you don't take medications on Shabbos. But if there's a course of treatment, and Shabbos is one of the days, then you do. Then you do. What if the course of treatment you're taking is a homeopathic course of treatment? Do you say the same rule like you say with the orthodox medications, that you take it on Shabbos as well, or do you say no? And on this Rav Valk of Gates that has Paskins, you do take the homeopathic preparations on Shabbos, just as if it is an orthodox medicine preparation as well. And he puts great weight on homeopathic remedies within the context of halacha. So there are other questions which can arise in practice. An interesting one is a lot of homeopathic preparations are made from non-kosher sources, but they are diluted many, many times into a substance which is so weak and so remote, which is why homeopathic remedies are scoffed at by the medical profession. For example, the ambra of homeopathy is made from the intestine of the whale. Catharsis is made from the Spanish fly, a live beetle, which is highly poisonous. The crotalus is made from the venom of a rattlesnake, and the theridion is made from the orange spider. So then there's a question of kashrus here. If you're going to take something which is not a danger to life, certainly if there's a danger to life, you can do anything except for gilaros, shvichas tomim, and avodah zorah. But if there's no danger to life and you're taking something for what's called a cholesh ein bo sakono or michush balmo, it's not such a terrible thing. Can you take these things if they are derived from non-kosher sources? The question is brought by Rav Chaim David Halevi in Tuchumin Kerech Gimel, who asks, maybe we apply the din of Ein Mevatlin Isur L'Chatchila, because the amount of the of the medicine based on the non-kosher source is so small because it's diluted many, many times. They say, in fact, it's diluted as much as 60,000 times. Well, in halacha, you only have to be mevatel something. Possibly one in three or one in 60. So definitely it's bottle.
But that's only if it's unintentional. If it's intentional.
Right, that's another question. If it's intentional, then ta'am kikur d'oraisa. Then does the taste play a part? We know that you don't get the taste. Ah, you might say, but since for you it's choshuv, it has an important part to play, maybe it's not bottle. And he asks this question about ein mevatlin nisarach achila, that is it a din d'oraisa or din d'rabbanan? Most poskim agree that it's a din d'rabbanan that you don't be mevatel, that you don't annul an isur l'chatchila. But once you did annul it, it is batel barov or batel b'shishim. Then there's a further question, and that is with chometz on Pesach. A lot of homeopathic remedies have alcohol in them, and the alcohol is derived from wheat starch. So if we say on Pesach that even if you are mevatel something many, many times, it's still not batel on Pesach, then maybe it's asur. And there's a further question. If it was batel before Pesach, there is a question of chozer v'nir on Pesach, that it returns back to its original state on Pesach, even though it was annulled beforehand. What is the din? There is a machlokes on Pesach, whether we apply chozer v'nir or not. The Ramai is generally lenient, and the psak, which is given in the Adas publication of Hakol, is that you may use homeopathic remedies on Pesach where you know they do not contain wheat alcohol. And there are a number of guidelines used. Homeopathic products might be formulated with lactose, which is milky, which can be a problem if you're having it after meat. Talks about alcohol, where there could be a problem on Pesach. Otherwise, well, either Nelson, solid homeopathic preparations are lactose-based and are milky that may be used on Pesach, and it quotes Gould and Don Harrison, which make homeopathic remedies which you may use on Pesach as well as all the year round. So there is one principle. We've dealt with homeopathy. But the Rav Halevi in his article asks, why is it that you can sanction homeopathic remedies if they are not scientifically proven? And he comes onto the subject of segulas. What are segulas? Segulas are remedies which are brought by the Gemara, which are not strictly medical remedies. They are remedies which are suggested, which are not even regarded as helping you in the normal medical way, but they may have some other mystical thing about them which helps you.
There's also a problem about Roshana Habrias over the time, that whereas they may have helped years ago, it may not be such a thing.
That's correct. There are remedies in the Gemara, which are not called segulas, but called medical remedies, which many poskim say we don't apply nowadays. The Magen Avraham says this in, I think it's Kuf Samaches, and there's the Yamshel Shlomo who says this, that nowadays our nature and our disposition has changed, and therefore we do not use the remedies which are brought in the Gemara. There is the Sefer Tamiyam and Hogim, which has dozens of remedies at the back of the Sefer for various ailments, and again, there are poskim who say we don't use them anymore. Okay, having said that, I found it very interesting that a number of these things which are mentioned are, in fact, also mentioned in a famous naturopath book called The Nature Doctor by Vogel, not a Jewish fellow, but 2 million copies were sold of this book. He talks about walking on the dew of grass early in the morning as having a beneficial effect on your health. And I was amazed to discover that this is, in fact, a remedy brought down in the Tamiyam in Hogim as well, when there is a Magefa. Talks about motor, dew. Another example which comes to my mind is that the Rambam makes a very big emphasis, and we'll come to that soon, on making sure you are never constipated, because constipation brings on all sorts of serious illnesses if one allows it to carry on. And the same idea is brought in this book, The Nature Doctor, not a homeopathic book, but it's a naturopath's book, that it's the cause of all serious illnesses if one allows one's constipation to continue, and not to just take laxatives, but to engage in a diet where one is korov l'shilshul. Not diarrhea, but close to it, is the best way one can eat one's diet. And that is the Rambam in Hilchos Deos. So, we're having to strike a little bit of a balance here. But what is this thing about segulas? What does it mean, segulas? There is a Gemara in Yuma which says that if you are bitten by a kelef shoter, by a mad dog, einu machilin. Now, we do not give you mikoved shelo, from the chotzer, the lobe of the liver, which is to imply that there is some remedy which was thought at the time of the Mishnah and Gemara, that if you eat something from the dog's liver, it will cure you from the dog's bite. Rashi says it's not a refuah gemura, and we don't allow an issur of a behemoth tomei. It's a non-kosher food, which implies that if it would have been kosher, we do not deny that it has medical qualities, even if it's not fully tested. Rambam says in the Perish HaMishnayis, it doesn't help except the derech segula, which means it's not a medical remedy. So we don't allow you to eat non-kosher food. And that implies even if there is a danger to your life. But nevertheless, we come to a Mishnah, and if you look at your handouts, there is a Mishnah in Shabbos, Daf Samach Zayin, and you've got at the top there, part of the Daf, and the Mishnah there, Yotzin B'Vesas HaChalgal. Have we got that?
Yeah.
You may go out on Shabbos with the egg of a chargal, which is a grasshopper, or locust, or a certain species of one. The egg of such a grasshopper, you may wear it round your neck as a form of remedy, a segula, of a shein shu'al, or with the tooth of an ox, of a masana, fox. A wolf or a fox? Is there a difference between the two?
Yeah.
Shu'al. Shu'alim halchuda. Or with a summer min hatsolov, or with a nail from a gallows. Mishum refuah. Because it gives you a refuah. Divir Rabbi Meir. That is the view of Rabbi Meir. The Chachomim Ostrim. The Chachomim forbid it. Why? They say, after Chol, you're not allowed to do this, even on a weekday. Mishum darkei hoimari. This is Darkei Mari. This is Avodah Zorah. This is superstition. We don't believe in it. So if we look at the Perish HaMishnayis the Rambam, which are at the lower half of your page, Yotzin Bevesas HaChalgo V'Shein Shu'al. So he tries to give us a bit of logic and understanding to this, but that's quite difficult. Chago min chogov, it's a kind of grasshopper. Like it says in the Pasuk, Eshachargo v'minehu, in Vayikra. Yeah, it's in Shemini, actually. V'zeh yoel l'chaleshes atzveh rechayim b'segula. And this helps with the weakness of the nerves around the thighs, I think that means, as a segula. V'shein shel shu'al, what does the tooth of the fox do? Yaseh l'shino, for a person to sleep, u'mishi yikach shein shel shu'al chai, if it's from a living fox. The yisrael, so he hangs it round his neck, if somebody sleeps too much, it will shorten it and help him. And if it's from a dead fox, it will have the opposite effect. And in the same way, it's the suggestion of these people who go for segulos, if you take the nail of a gallows, the yitzlos of geres, mishiyeshlo kedachas, if you hang it round your neck, somebody who's got a very high fever, it will help him. Now, in fact, the Mishnah says Divrei Rabbi Meir v'Chachomim Osrim, and it seems that he means Rabbi Meir. Ki ikar etzleinu ki yeshem mishum refuah ein bo mishum darkei mari. Wherever we talk about something which can contribute to one's healing, we do not say it's Darkei Mari. We don't say it's Avodah Zorah. Even if it has come from these sorts of sources where it's thought to be idolatrous, if we say it's Mishum Refuah, we allow it.
It's not 100% the Indian, but the thing here is by carrying these things in Shabbos.
Yes.
Whether you're carrying
This is about carrying on Shabbos, yes. Yeah.
And the egg of a grasshopper is so small that you wouldn't be over on a carbon anyway.
Well, if you want it there, the 10th parak of Shabbos, Hamatzniyah, talks about items which you carry which are smaller than the minimum shear, and if you want them, that you are liable in some way on Shabbos. So there is still that question. But the thrust of the Rambam is that if it's sonic mishum refuah, we allow it. We don't apply the chukas hagoy concept if you are doing it mishum refuah. So this Mishnah does raise a lot of questions. Because, first of all, we did say in the case of the kelev shota that we're not going to allow you to break any rules to eat from the liver of a dog. And here, we're allowing you to do something on Shabbos which you might not normally do. You are allowed to wear these things around your neck. How can this be? On this, the question is answered by the Shalos HaTshuvos of the Radvaz, who says in Chelek Hay, Aleph Tes Lamed Vov, he says, why do we allow these segulos on Shabbos, even though medically they do not have any proven way of healing you? So he says, the reason why we're really allowing it on Shabbos is because that's what people do during the week, and therefore it's Derech Malbush. It's the way of wearing. And if it's the way of wearing, he says, I couldn't really care if it heals you or if it doesn't heal you. Obviously, I want you to get better. But if its medical benefit is not proven, that's not really the issue in halacha. The issue in halacha is it derech malbush on Shabbos? And it is, because people do it during the week. And therefore, you're allowed. Whereas, with the dog, you're asked to eat something which is trefa. No, we're not going to allow it. We're not going to allow a segula to go as far as that. So the Maron Nevuchim, the Rambam, in Chelek Gimel, Lamed Zayin, he says, again, the principle, Kol Sheyesh Bo Mishum Refuah, Ein Bo Mishum Da'akei Mari. He upholds anything which is thought in a natural way to help you, okay. But what about the tooth of the fox? So he says, look, in those days, it was thought that it helped. He agrees that it doesn't help. I've met somebody who believes it helps. Somebody told me, you know, there was someone who was in a coma and they put around his neck the tooth of a fox and he woke up immediately. But I'm a bit sceptical about this. Maybe, okay, maybe it happens, but a doctor might say, well, he woke up because of some other reason and not because of the tooth of the fox. But the Rambam's attitude is that he is a bit sarcastic about the tooth of the fox because he says, in those days, people believed that it helped and therefore it was okay. But, and then he goes on to say, if a person sincerely believes that it helps, even if it seems illogical, we say it's alright, Mishum Refuah. And he says further in Beis Ches, in Maron Nevuchim, that we can go according to the non-Jewish expert. If a non-Jewish doctor says something is good for you, then we'll go along with him. And therefore, and he says, and the Rav Sharariah Goren writes, on Gittin Samach Ches, our rabbis were not doctors, and therefore we rely on doctors who have a specialty, Atta Dishnaya. If they say it helps you, then you go ahead and do it.
At the time of the Rambam, things had not been, although in, you know, compared to the way medicine's moved nowadays,
yes,
then what wasn't accepted here?
Right, but the thing about Segulus, and there's a lot written about, I've got a whole sefer about Segulus, the thing about segula is that it's not a medical concept. The segula is where the guf and the nefesh combine. There's something spiritual which happens, something mystical happens, and by doing that as a show of emunah, Hashem will help you from above to get better. That's what segula is. I was once at a chasna when I was still a bachelor, and there were very few people at the chuppah, and they were passing around the cup of wine for everybody who was not married to drink from. Segula, segula, it helps you get married. How does it help me get married? I don't know. But after 20 people had drunk from this cup, I felt it would be a bit unhygienic to drink from it. So I politely declined. So I politely declined to drink from the cup, and one woman said to me, what? You don't want to get married? Anyway, it took a while, but I got married in the end. Right. Now, there's an interesting Rambam in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Yud Aleph. He quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin Kuf Aleph. You don't have it in front of you. And he says, V'loch shenechichash nechoshim v'akrovim b'shabbos. On Shabbos, you are allowed, if a person has a snake bite, or a scorpion bite,
you are allowed to do certain whisperings and incantations which superstitious people do, which will remove the snake bite or the scorpion bite. And Rashi says, Kadesh le'yaziku, that you don't come harmed from it. What's going on here? So the Rambam writes on this. He says, if somebody has a snake bite or a scorpion bite, he says, you're allowed to have these whisperings done, these incantations done. Afilu b'shabos. And he says, Kadesh le'yashev dato. Because that calms down the person's mind. Or the chazek libo, it gives him more self-confidence. V'yafal b'she'en adava mo'el kolum. Even though it's absolutely worthless in the medical sense, it doesn't help you. He says, Rambam says, I'm sure that this method of refuah does not help. But since a person is in such a danger, umusukanlo, it's here alone. Okay, go ahead and do it. Kedei shalota tarif da'atolov, in order that the person doesn't get too much anxiety. So what is the Rambam saying here? Something really amazing. He's saying anxiety and worry can harm the person's health. And if you do something which has no logical rhyme or reason to it, but that calms the person down, then you do it. Afilu b'shabos. Why? Because psychologically it helps the person. So we see here already from a long, long time ago how the benefits of psychology can help a person in their refuah. And there is in fact a halacha in Shabbos. A woman who is blind, who's just given birth. She's just given birth, so she's called a chodesh yesh basakana. As if her life is in danger, we break Shabbos for a woman who's given birth, even though normally a woman isn't really in danger, but we treat her as if she's in danger for the first 3 days and a further 4 days if she asks for it. Let's say a blind woman asks for Shabbos candles to be lit after Shabbos has already come in. You can't light Shabbos candles after Shabbos has come in. It's a malacha. But she asks for it. What's the halacha? The halacha is, you light the candles. You do the malacha. Ah, she can't see it. She's blind. Doesn't matter. It gives her a yishuv das. Psychologically, it calms her down to know that there are Shabbos candles burning in the room. You break Shabbos, you do it in order to give her that yishuv das.
It's a derive.
It's a halacha mufareshes in the Shulchan Aruch that you light the Shabbos candles. It's not an issur d'oraisa because you break Shabbos for the woman for anything she asks for. And it calms down her nerves, you do it. Psychology plays a major role in halachic medicine. So anything which is sofek nefashos, says the Radvaz in Kuf Nun Gimel, he brings down the Rambam in Yuma, he talks about this dog business, he says, anything which is sofek nefashos is dofes Shabbos. But if it's a sofek refuah, the segula is something spiritual. The segula is something which, it's really a sofek refuah, right? It's not called sofek nefashos. Sofek nefashos you break Shabbos for. Sofek refuah you don't. But if we're talking about segulas, that's something, in his view, according to the Rambam, you don't break Shabbos for. It's too remote. But if it's something which some people in the medical profession say helps you, and some people say don't help you, then you do break Shabbos for it. Now the Ramban and the Rashba argue with the Rambam. The Rambam holds you don't break Shabbos for a segula. But the Ramban and the Rashba hold that you do. They say you can. It's brought down from the Admas Kodesh, Chelek Aleph, Yeredeo, Simon Zion, and the Tzitz Eliezer brings this in Chelek Ches, Simon Tes. He says, anything which is thought to help, even if it's an established refuah. So you asked before about feeding an avela, an animal which is not kosher. If it has already helped 3 people, he says, then you do it. We won't get involved about whether you shecht on Shabbos rather than if you feed treif of food on Shabbos. The halacha is you do shecht on Shabbos if it is a sofik, if there's pikuach nefesh. All right, that's not alternative medicine. That's plain. What about writing amulets? An amulet is a superstitious thing, or it's a segula, to put something around the neck with special words to bring a segula min hashamayim. Can you do this on Shabbos? Of course you can't write on Shabbos. But there are views brought down by the Sefer Tov Ayin that it can be done on Shabbos because it calms down the patient. It calms him down and therefore you can do it. Now we don't have a lot of time, but we got more handouts here. The Chiddush says, Kisei Rachamim, Sechsofen that we follow the Ramban and the Rashba, you can break Shabbos for Segula. Now, if you look at the handout, second page, you've got from Hilchos Deos. Hilchos Deos, the Rambam gives a guide on preventative medicine. There's not time to read it all, but we'll pick out a few parts. At the first paragraph, he says a person should only eat when he's hungry. He should only drink when he's thirsty. And he should not delay going to the toilet even one moment. That's in Halacha Aleph. Let's go into Halacha Beis. Lo yochal odom ad shesismali kriso. A person should not eat until he's full up. Lo yifchos kamo, but he should have a little bit less. Kamo yarvia misvoso. That means a quarter of the stomach should be left empty. Lo yishdem ma'im b'sel chamozen elo ma'af. But you only drink a small amount of water actually during the meal. Mozog b'yayin, and also when it comes to wine, the sheyaschil hamozon is akel b'mor, but only when it starts to digest, shoset, then one drinks. Masu sorich shtos, what he wants to drink. And then we skip a line, v'layochel ad sheyivdok atzmo yofe yofe shemo yetzorit in the cave of. And before he sits down to eat, he should first ask himself whether he first needs to go to the toilet. V'layochel adam ad sheyilech kodem achila. A person should do a bit of walking before he eats. Actually, ask him gufa lochum so that he can warm up a bit. Oh, yasa malocha, oh, yisaga biyaga acher. Not that he dives straight from his bed onto the table to eat. Klalo shodobo, the principle is, yana gufa viga kolyo baboke. He should exercise himself a little in the morning. Actually, ask him gufa lochum viyishka ma ashetis yashev nasheva ochel. And then he calms down a bit after that little bit of exercise and then he eats. If he had a hot bath, it might be very good, but you wait a bit and then you eat. And in Gimel he talks about sitting and not walking around while you eat. Then in Dalad he talks about how much sleep you should get, 8 hours a night. In Hay he talks about how you sleep. Then he talks about certain foods which you should avoid, fruits which are good for you, which are not so good for you. And then he talks about other foods such as eggs and meat in Sif Zayin. We haven't got time to go through all this, but he avoids very strictly at the top of the next column, avoiding very salty fishes, foods which have been preserved, which are very harmful for you.
Really?
Very salty fish, yeah. Pickled herring. How can you have a kiddush without it? And then if we jump down to Yud Gimel, Le'olam yishtado olam shiyumeov rafin kol yomov yukov l'shilshul ma'at. That one should never be constipated and one should be close to diarrhea. V'zeh klal godol b'refuah. This is a very important principle in medicine. Kol zaman. Sharim nimna ayotzi b'koshi. If it's hard for it to come out, chaloim roim boim. Very serious illnesses will come. And then if we jump down to Yud Dalud, V'od klal acher omri b'briyasa guf. Another important principle in health. As long as a person does exercise and moves around and keeps his bowels moving, he will not get any illnesses. Even if he eats the bad foods, which is listed above. But if he says in Tesvov, if he leads a sedentary lifestyle, then things will not be good for him. And then if we go over to the next page, let's look at the second line of the next page. V'rov hachanoim sheboim al odom eino elo avtmei macholim roim. And most illnesses come to a person only because of the foods that he eats. Avtmei shim mali vitno, or if he fills up his stomach to the extent that ochel achilo gasa, where he overeats, v'afilu mimacholim tovim, even good foods. He quotes Pesukim, and then he talks about washing, and other things. If we come right down to Kaf, because I'm watching the clock.
Can I just ask a question?
Yes.
I mean, do we regard this as halacha, sort of with Ruach HaKodesh, or is it just sort of medical advice from the time?
Well, we do know that the Rambam was an important doctor. He was a doctor to kings. And he's giving medical advice. What I have in front of me is a sefer which came out last year called Chaim Briyim B'Halacha. leading a healthy lifestyle according to halacha. And he goes through modern sources and combines them with the Rambam, with the common denominators, to show how what the Rambam is saying here is regarded as quite prominent nowadays as well. Yes. And as halacha, and what he puts on his front cover in a magnifying glass is the words of the Rambam here in halacha kaf. If you go down the page towards the end of that chapter, kaf kol hamanigatsmo v'drochim elu, anyone who conducts his lifestyle according to these ways, shareinu, which we have taught above, ani orevlo, I guarantee him, she'eino boli decholi kol yomov, he will not come to an illness all his life, until he's very old, the almost that he will die from old age. The Eino Tzoich L'Rofe, and he will not have to rely on national health. The Gufo Sholem, and his body will be complete. The Ored Alburov Kolyomov, and he will stand with confidence all his days. Elon Kein Hayo Gufo Ram Itchilas Birosa. Unless, from the start, genetically he had problems, then he might come to ill health. But if he started off in good health, then there is no reason why he should ever have an illness his whole lifestyle, unless he conducts himself in an unhealthy manner. I mean, there's no time now, but he goes in this sefer through aspects of diet, exercise, and so on. He's even got BMI tables at the back, and writes about cholesterol and things like that. And, it's a fascinating little sefer which they're selling in Bnei Barak now.
He said earlier, the Rambam said earlier, you shouldn't bring too much water. But that's not what they say today.
He's bringing it out in the middle of the meal. After the meal is better to drink, he says. But while you're actually eating, because you're weakening the stomach acids if you're drinking too much during the meal to digest the food properly. That's what he says. I'm not a doctor myself, so... I'm eyeing the clock. There isn't really much time to carry on this. So what we'll do is, we will go to the next handout, which is from the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. And this is another concept of preventative medicine, which you were talking about, Henry. Siman Kuf Tzamech Beis, Kuf Tzadi Beis, from the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Omer Rav Yitzchok Vareid Rav Yehuda. A person should always seek rachamim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he does not become sick. We say the pasuk, bring forth your merit, show your zechus, and you will then be okay. Omer Marukva. Marukva says, my korah kifal hanofel mimenu. What does it mean by the pasuk? Kifal hanofel mimenu. So a person has this accident of falling. What does it mean, mimenu, from him? Mimenu lahavi raya. Lahavi raya. Mimenu means as a result of his own actions, because he had sinned, Hashem is punishing him. Perish m'achashu nofel, after he had fallen, tzorech limtza mimenu mimasa v'raya zechus. Then he has to find some meister to zechus to get him better. Oh, this is Gemara Chashbarosha, if a person has a headache, yeh domi ba'inov k'mi shenosnu b'kolo. It is as if a person has been arrested for something he has done wrong. If a person is forced to lie down that he's got fever or whatever and he has to go to bed, he should look upon it as if he is standing in a courtroom. If a person's got some advocates to say that he's done mitzvahs, then he will be saved. Vimlav, but if not, Eina Nitzel, he will not be saved. Ve'elon praklitin shal odom, what are the advocates which can act on behalf of a person when he's not well? Teshuva u'maisim tovim. Teshuva and good deeds. Vafidu tesham eos v'tishim v'tisho melamdim olav. Even if there are 999 examples which go against the person, ve'echod melamid lo chus, but he's got something, a good deed which he's done, then Mitzel, he will be saved. Shemem, as it says in the Pasuk, Yimei Shalov, Malach Melit, Echod, Mani Elef, Lagid, Lodom, Yisrael, Chanunu, etc. That person will be redeemed from the grave. Sif Beis, Dorosh, Rav Pinchas Bar Chamo. So If a person has a chola, a sick person inside his house, he should go to a chochom, a tzaddik, to go to the Rebbe, the vacation of Rachamim, ask him for Rachamim that he should daven for you. Shemaim, as it says in Mishle, Chamas Melech Malachei Moves V'ish Chocham Yechaprenu, that such a person will atone for you. V'nagim Rosei Tzedokah L'aniyim Bado, and a person should give Tzedokah Ki Teshuvah U'Tefilot Tzedokah Ma'avirin Esra HaGezeiro, because these are the best medicines, Teshuvah, Tefillah, and Tzedokah. Because Hashem, He is the big doctor. He is the one who is the Rofei Ne'eman Rachamon. Gam Noagin L'Roiches HaCholim B'Beis HaKnesses, so we also have the custom to give a bracha for the Cholim in a Bishav Berach in the Shul. Similarly on Shabbos, we say Shabbos Hi Milizo K'Refuah K'Rova Lova. V'im Hu Mesukun L'Roichin Esafinu B'Shabbos V'Yom Tov, so even on Shabbos and Yom Tov, we also say Yom Tov Hi Milizo. But if Amim Meshanim Eshem HaCholim, and there are times when we might even change the name of the sick person, or to add a name, to give him the name Chaim, or to give him the name Alta, and that is a zechus, it's a segula, ki gam shimi Hashem kere gezer dino, because such a segula can tear up any harmful gezer din which has been decreed for him. So in actual fact, when we look at the subject of segulas, coming back to them, one might feel a bit skeptical. You know, there are all sorts of segulas which are written in the Sfarim. It talks about earache taking a woman's milk and to cook it with grapes. A week out, we're talking about gargling cold water, and we might not understand the rhyme or reason for these. With eyes, it says, put your tzitzis on them when you're saying the Shema, it will help your eyes. You know, there's nothing really medical about that. What is it? It's a demonstration of our trust and our bitochen in Hashem, who is the Rofe. And when we practice these, and they are brought down from original sources, they're not modern day things brought down from any Tom, Dick or Harry, we can put our trust in Hashem, because these things are what eventually lead us to Hashem Yisbarach. Boruch Anosein Lariot Koach. It is Hashem who gives us our strength, and to Him, on Him we have to rely. And why does it say in the Mishnah, Tov Shebarofim LeGehinnom, some of the best doctors go to Gehinnom? The doctors are doing a good job for us. Why should they go to Gehinnom? It's when the doctor believes that it is He who is giving you the refuah, that it is He who is giving you, who is making you better. He is merely the shliach of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and it is Hashem who is making you better, and it is on Him upon whom we rely. Thank you very much. Sure. We should all have Rofei Chole Amo Yisrael.